everybody. Happy holidays from the Bills Wire podcast here for USA Today Sports SMG. I am one of your hosts of this podcast, Matt Johnson. Happy to be with you another week. I must have did a halfway decent job if they allowed me to do a second episode, but I'm happy to be here. I will be splitting time, doing individual episodes and doing cooperative episodes with Jeremy, who is your regular podcast host, and I'm looking forward to get to work with him, to meet him. It's been a fun week as far as joining the crew, and I really get to realize how hard everybody here works on presenting material for you guys, you know, articles and lists and so much more than that. And this is a great team to be a part of, and I'm happy you are spending your holiday week, whether it's Christmas, Kwanzaa, Festivus, listening to me here at the Bills Wire podcast. I came in bearing good news, though. I wish I came in bearing good news. Unfortunately, it is another week, another year of a Patriots sweep against us, and it was not pretty today. There were a lot of bright spots, as per usual, not a good showing. Not as close as I had hoped it to be. I was very optimistic going, and you have to be. You have to be optimistic. Every week you go into an NFL game, there's been so many upsets, so many surprises this year, and you just never know. You never know. You got to be optimistic. But this past week, depending on when you listen to this, it was not very pretty for the Buffalo Bills, who fell to the New England Patriots 24-12, giving the Pats their 10th consecutive division title, unfortunately. So Bills fall to 5-10 on the season. The Pats 10-5. Bills' chances to play spoilers have ended. I don't think, I know we play, Bills play Miami next week, and I think they're pretty much mathematically out at this point. Let me look here. Yes, they lost to Jacksonville. They're 7-8. Our chances to play spoiler are completely done at this point. There was a chance to knock the Pats back a game and keep them out of a first-round bye, but right now they could be on track to do that. But without further ado, let's look into, let's analyze this game and what happened, what everything went right, well, everything that went wrong. The Bills started off the game with the ball, and after only gaining 4 yards on 3 plays, punted away. And they had a big defensive showing against the Pats, 3 plays for 7 yards. Bills get the ball back, only move 5 yards on 3 plays, punted away. And then the Pats were the first ones to strike with about 7.5 minutes into the game. Sony Michel went up the middle for 4 yards. And, Pats strike first. Bills get the ball back after going 2 yards on 3 plays, punted away. Pats get the ball, travel 41 yards, and a big fumble. I believe it was Rex Burkhead. Rex Burkhead got popped out at the Buffalo 49, and Micah Hyde recovered it. So that was a huge turnover to start, really getting the Bills into it. And I would like to, and all credit, obviously, all video belongs to the NFL and CBS, but I would like to listen to the call right here. It was a pretty cool play.
On the play fake. Quick pass. Burkhead lost football. On the ground, picked up by the Bills. Micah Hyde with the recovery.
It was nice. It was nice, and it actually got Buffalo helped them get into the field goal range. They traveled 16 yards, and unfortunately, Hauschka missed a 43-yard field goal, hit the crossbar. There was a chance to get on the board. And then the Pats got the ball back, went negative 6 yards on three plays, and punted the ball away. Second quarter begins. Buffalo travels 7 yards in three plays, punts it away. Pats get the ball back, travel 56 yards on five plays. James White, 27-yard touchdown, put the Pats up 14-0. Next drive, Josh Allen throws a interception intended for Deontay Thompson, intercepted by Jackson of New England, returned 9 yards to the Buffalo 49. Bills answered back on the next drive with a Lorenzo Alexander interception at the hands of, Tom Brady had a pass to intended for Rex Burkhead, picked off and returned 8 yards. And the Bills get the ball back, travel 46 yards in 10 plays, and unfortunately turn the ball over on downs. Pats get the ball back, travel 33 yards on four plays, punt it away, and the Bills have the ball for one play, traveling 5 yards, which ended the half. Third quarter starts off real hot. New England Patriots start off with the ball, and one on the first play, an interception. Tom Brady with a pass intended for Rob Gronkowski, intercepted by Jordan Poyer at the New England 24. No return there. Here we go. The Bills get the ball back, travel 7 yards on four plays, kick a field goal. Steven Hauschka makes it 3-14, but Patriots in the lead. Next drive. Pats get the ball, travel 16 yards on three plays, punt it away. Bills get it back, travel 19 yards on five plays. Steven Hauschka makes a 41-yard field goal, bringing the score to 6-14, still in Pats' favor. Pats answer back with a big touchdown play. Tom Brady to Julian Edelman, 32 yards. To Tom Brady's credit, it was his 25th touchdown pass of the season. So hats off to him. I know it's probably, you probably don't want to hear that, Bills fans, I know, but I got to give credit where credit's due, and Brady's been one of the greatest that we've got to, you know, got to witness. If you didn't see the Bills wire post this week, even Josh Allen admitted it a couple years ago. And this play right here drove me, well, this drive drove me absolutely nuts. Was going so well. The Bills traveled 68 yards on four plays. And then a pass from Josh Allen to Jason Kroom that went 24 yards. And then Jason Kroom fumbles on the New England 6, recovered by Brown by New England, and returned for no gain. That was an absolute heartbreaker. Kroom was right there. And just terrible ending to that drive. Pats get the ball, 45 yards on 11 plays, punted away. Fourth quarter starts. Bills go 3 yards on three plays, punt it away. Pats, 19 yards on six plays, get a field goal. Steven Gostkowski from 24 yards away, bringing the score 24-6, New England. Bills get the ball back, 8 yards on three plays, punt it away. Pats go to turnover on downs, four plays, 4 yards. Bills get the ball back, 19 yards on four plays, and an interception. Josh Allen intended for McKenzie was intercepted by McCourty. Unfortunately, Pats goes 0 yards and three plays and then punts it away. Bills get the ball back, move 80 yards on nine plays, get a touchdown. Josh Allen to Zay Jones for 31 yards, bring the score to 12-24.
Under pressure. Elugeron now throws wide open inside the five and into the end zone for the touchdown is Zay Jones.
And the Pats end the game negative 2 yards on two plays, and time has expired, giving the Pats their 10th consecutive AFC East championship. You know, I think statistically you got to look at the stats, and in all honesty, if you really look at it, excuse me, been a little bit of a cold here. Josh Allen outplayed Tom Brady. Maybe not as far as a completion percentage, but here, listen to this. Josh went 20 of 41 which is not great, mind you, but 20 completed passes for 217 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Tom Brady only completed 13 passes out of 24 for 126 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. So Allen beat him in the completion game and the yardage game. Unfortunately, it's not, it doesn't mean much in the grand, in the score, but I think it's a good sign for one, you know, multiple things that Josh Allen is, you know, while he can make smarter plays, he's playing with the best of them. He's hanging with the best of them as far as, you know, stats and such. And also how much Tom Brady has regressed. Yes, the Bills defense is one of the best in the league, whether you want to admit it or not. They've been so fun to watch. But for Tom Brady to put up those kind of numbers is it almost seems strange and weird, but this has been the trend this year, which has been wild. However, the Pats moved the ball quite a bit on the ground. Sony Michel, 18 attempts, 116 yards, one touchdown. Cordarrelle Patterson, 4 attempts, 66 yards. James White, 8 attempts, 41 yards. Rex Burkhead, 13 attempts, 39 yards. Dorsett, 2 attempts, 13 yards. They mix the ball around a lot, which is pretty much the Pats game. They have a, you know, that run by committee style of a rush attack, and they have so many rushing weapons, and it usually works to their advantage. Their guys can catch passes and, you know, run it right up the middle. And that's where Buffalo got killed today, unfortunately, is on the ground. Definitely wasn't by air, but it was on the ground. And for the Bills' defense, which has been the bright spot all season, it was not a good look to have that much put up on you. I mean, 273 yards on the ground this game while giving up, while the Pats got 126 yards passing. Let's see. Let's look at the Buffalo Bills stats. Only 72 yards rushing total. Keith Ford got 33 yards on 7 attempts. Josh Allen, 30 yards on 5 attempts. And LeSean McCoy, 9 yards on 6 attempts. That's not great. How are receiving? 217 yards receiving. Zay Jones, 5 receptions, 67 yards. Jason Kroom, 4 receptions for 55 yards. Robert Foster, 4 receptions for 52 yards. And Keith Ford, 2 receptions, 14 yards. Deontay Thompson, 1 reception, 11 yards. Shady McCoy, 3 receptions, 10 yards. Isaiah McKenzie, 1 reception, 8 yards. So, yeah, it stinks, but I can feel the tide turning. I mean, there were some news reports that, I don't know whether the rumors or whatnot, that the Pats organization is in for a major shakeup. I don't want to say those because I don't know if it's a confirmation. I don't know if it's confirmed. And we, as usual, you know, reports come out of nowhere from certain websites. Anyone can throw out anything, have a hot take that, you know, 90% of the time it doesn't stick. But I can see the tide shifting. And maybe not immediately in Buffalo's favor, but I think for the rest of the AFC East, I think the Pats dynasty is coming to a crashing halt. This has not been a great team this year. Yes, their record is 10-5, but they've had some really bad losses. They've had really bad losses and really good wins. You know, I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot on The Herd. And he, while he does make some, you know, sometimes makes outlandish statements, I do like his takes. And one of them on Tom Brady was how Tom plays really good at the beginning of the season and really good coming off bye weeks. And when it comes to playoffs, he does really good having that first round bye. Other than that, Brady, this has not been a great year for Brady. The Pats have been relatively quiet throughout the league. The NFL, really the big story this year, it's been all about the Chiefs. Yes, the Pats did beat them, but the big story, you know, everyone's talking about the Chiefs, the Rams, the Saints, even the Bears. you know, and a couple of other teams outside of that. But media wise, yeah, there hasn't been like this. You know, I'm sure what Buffalo fans would say is an over glorification of Tom Brady and this team. It's really quiet, but I think it's justified. I think it's justified because this is not the Tom Brady of old. This is not the Pats that we've known for the last 20, almost 20 something years now. I think that dynasty is coming to an end, which definitely opens things up. I'm not going to say it's definitely coming to an end, but this is the most vulnerable, that the Pats have appeared on the football field in a very, very long time. But unfortunately, as of right now, the past is behind us, and we will be looking onward to the future. Like I said, it should be an interesting offseason for both the Pats and our Buffalo Bills. We shall see. But let's look into Week 17. The Bills play the Dolphins. They will be playing for nothing at this point. Like I said earlier, the Miami Dolphins have been eliminated from playoff contention, and Buffalo was several weeks ago. It means nothing, but it's always fun because my favorite week, my favorite games are always the divisional games because, you know, it's teams play each other so differently, so much more aggressively. The offense is better, the defense is always better, and you know, teams, you know, they upset people. But unfortunately, you know, the Bills, this isn't like the 90s where the Bills and Dolphins are playing for first place. They're playing for respect, and luckily the season will be closing out in Buffalo. Hopefully, I may or may not be attending. I'm not sure yet. But let's look at the league rankings. They're two of the bottom offensive teams, Miami 29th, Bills 31st. Defensively, the Bills are ranked first, and the Dolphins are ranked 30th. Passing, 30th for Miami, 31st Buffalo, and rushing, Miami 18th, rushing 11th. Now, I know last time these two teams played, it ended an absolute heartbreaker with Charles Clay, who was a healthy scratch this week, mind you. You know, it dropped past in the end zone. I know Josh Allen scrambled around a little bit. So we'll see. It'll be a really good ending to otherwise a pretty disappointing result year if the Bills can beat a division rival at home. I would love to see it, and I'm sure a lot of the Bills Mafia would like to see it. But I want you guys to take into consideration something, how every time, every year, if something doesn't go a team's way, who's going to be the scapegoat this year? I'm not saying there will be one, but if there is, last year the Bills made the playoffs, and it was obvious, we all know the story, first time in 17 years, and you know, on a few occasions the offense really fell flat last season against the Saints, against Jacksonville in that wild card playoff game, and Rick Dennison was canned. People, sometimes the fans really like to see a scapegoat, somebody get canned and to bring new hope going forward. And I've seen some posts on potential scapegoats, and people are saying McDermott and or Bean, and I think that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of. You know, how quickly we forget that what McDermott and what Bean have done with so little. Next year will be a good representation of what Bean's vision for the Buffalo Bills team will be. And McDermott is gonna get some quality players. I'm sure Bean's gonna do a great job recruiting people. As you all probably know, the salary cap is going to be really in our favor. And I'm looking at a website right now. It's allegedly the Bills cap space is $88,761,374. I could be wrong, but I'm sure I believe it's around that number roughly. And you know, it's a good thing to have. I'd like to compare Brandon Bean to another GM who dealt with cap issues and you know, trying to refresh a team. And that's Chris Ballard in Indianapolis. And for those, you know, who've been watching, paying attention, everyone knows that Indy had a really bad team, uncharacteristically bad team for 3 years or so. And, you know, Chris Ballard, he had the cap space. He turned over players and he finally got what he wanted, and you can see Indianapolis' success and what their resurgence. And I truly feel that Buffalo is on the track to represent that, replicate that the resurgence to refresh the team. Josh Allen is the centerpiece. Josh Allen is the centerpiece going forward. And if you build around him, protect him, give him weapons to throw to, this team is going to be legit. Absolutely legit. And I said it last week, you got to believe. You 100% have to believe in this team. Last year, they did not let us down at all. Not let us down. They broke the drought. They made the playoffs. And they are on the track to rebrand, refresh this Buffalo team. Got to have optimism going forward. I tend not to be pessimistic, and I don't want to ever trash someone, whether it be a player, a GM, owner, coach, coordinator, that makes an NFL paycheck, because I will never do that. And I truly believe in them. You know, Doug Whaley's, his experience was really bad here, really bad. Lots of poor choices and bad business decisions that Brandon Bean and McDermott and this, you know, our fan base, this team have had to deal with the repercussions for the last several years. Everything's on the right track. I really do believe that here. There's hope again. We tasted it 2 years ago, essentially last season. And Buffalo's going to be A-okay. We've seen what, you know, teams like the Rams have done with amassing a large cap space. They've built an absolute juggernaut of a team that went had a, you know, a fun last to first situation last year. But that's all I have for this week's episode. Like I said, I wish I was presenting you a happier ending like we had last week, but it was not to be. Maybe next year, everyone. On behalf of Bills Wire and myself, thank you so much for spending your holidays listening to us. I'm looking forward to being, you know, continuing to podcast for you guys and gals throughout the 2019 year. Buffalo is a fun, passionate fan base, and not just a fan base, a city. We love our teams here. We love our Bisons. We love our Sabres. And we love our Bills. We love our Bandits. And to be able to have some kind of voice that gets to talk to at least one part of that, it's an honor. It really is. I'm so happy to be part of this crew and learning from all of them. It's going to be great. I just want to say, to close the show, I know this is Bills talk, but if you haven't heard yet, Rick Jeanneret had a little incident, health scare, last night at the Sabres game. He was taken out on a stretcher. Apparently he's feeling better, and he's resting up at home. So we're just happy to hear that, and our thoughts here at Bills Wire are with Rick Jeanneret. So everyone, enjoy your holiday. I'll talk to you next week. Go Bills!